Parshas Bo. In this week's parsha, we find the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. And I'd like to pay attention this evening for a few moments to the Issa, which is mentioned in Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Tes. Yud Beis Pasuk Tes, where the Torah writes, Al Toichlu Mimenu No. Do not eat the Korban Pesach No raw. Ubashel, Mabushel Lamayim, neither should it be eaten cooked. But rather, Ki'in Tli'esh. Rather, it should be eaten roasted. It's got to be roasted. And the Torah does not explain why that must be the case. So the Torah is clearly telling us that the Korban Pesach must be eaten neither raw nor cooked, but it has to be roasted. Now some suggest, the Chizkuni, that this is just a practical inyan. It's an Issa, but the reason behind it is for purely practical reasons, because we know the Korban Pesach has to be eaten rather quickly that night, and if it's left over to the next morning, then we have transgressed the Issa of Noisa. So it says, the Chizkunis explains, that if you have the Korban raw, it's not very appealing, and therefore the chances are you won't finish it off. You'll leave it over, and it'll end up being Noisa. So for that reason, the Torah says, don't have it nor, don't have it raw. What about cooked? So the Chizkuni explains, when you cook something in water, the derech is that it's softened and it begins to crumble. So therefore, verse same Issa. If it begins to crumble, it could be that there'll be a crumb or two that will fall by the wayside, won't get eaten, and you thereby transgress the Issa of Noisa. Rather, if you are roasting the Korban Pesach, you've avoided both issues. It's not raw, so it's perfectly appealing, very tasty, there's no reason why you should want to leave it. And neither will it crumble because it's not being cooked in water. So that way, you will be rest assured that you can eat it that evening. That's the way that the Chizkuni explains. The Das HaKeinim explains differently. The Das HaKeinim explains that, remember, the korban that they shechted, the tzleh, and we're going to discuss this in a moment, Mitzvah Hashem, was of course the Avodah Zarah of the Mitzrayim. In which case, you might be rather scared. Imagine if the goy breaks into your house and he sees what's going on. You're busy stewing his Avodah Zarah. So therefore he says, you might not want to cook it or roast it at all and keep it raw. Because if you cook it or roast it, especially if you roast it, it gives off a whole waft and steam and smoke, and that will attract the attention of the goy. That's why you might well be attracted, might be well be tempted to eat the Korban Pesach raw. Says the Torah, don't do that. Neither should it be cooked. When you have something cooked, you have a lid on the pot, so therefore it's pretty much concealed. You might be tempted to do that as well, so that the goy shouldn't see it's all hidden in the pot. No! Have it dafka roasted, with all the smoke, and all the smell, and all the waft in the open, so that the goyim should notice after all. Why that's so important, maybe we'll discuss in a moment. But either way, the Rishonim certainly are trying to explain, it's because the Torah doesn't explain, but the Rishonim are out there to explain why there should be an Issa to eat the Korban Pesach raw or cooked, and it must be roasted. So what I'd like to share with you tonight, basically in totality, is the approach of the Bnei Yisrael. Of the Bnei Yisrael, we know one of the great Hasidic writers, one of the great Hasidic rabbis, about 130, 40, 50 years ago or so. And he's coming to explain a very interesting machloikas Rishonim. And he's mazbir the machloikas al derech hapshat, and then al derech haremez, and then al derech hadrush, and then al derech soid. All four ways of learning the Torah. So I'm not going to keep you long. I'm only going to share with you al derech haremez, the most beautiful explanation. And it's all going to be based on the Sefer HaChinuch, because the Sefer HaChinuch also helps us understand why it is that you must need the Korban Pesach raw and you must need the Korban Pesach cooked. Based on the Sefer HaChinuch, which is what we're about to mention in a moment, the Bnei Yitzchak would like to suggest the following. If you read the words of the Pasuk very carefully, what does it say? Again, Al toichlu mimenu no, do not eat it raw, uboshem uboshel, or cooked. Is that two separate Isurim or one Issa? The answer is, it's a machloikus rishonim. The Rambam is of the opinion, he writes this in at least two places, both in the Shroshim and Sefer HaMitzvahs, also in the Mitzvahs Loisah, saying the Sefer HaMitzvahs there too, that it is only one Issa. There is one solitary Issa. And the very simple proof, says the Rambam, that this is the case, is because how many times does it say in this Pasuk the word don't? It only says it once. It says, Al toichlu mimenu no, do not eat it raw, uboshel uboshel, or cooked. It doesn't say, don't eat it raw, and don't eat it cooked. The word don't, or al, only appears once. For that reason, says the Rambam, it's only considered one Issa. There are two ways of being over the Issa. Any time that a Korban Pesach is not roasted, meaning either cooked, or raw, you violated this issa. It's not two separate issurim. No, no. If somebody eats two Korban Pesachs, raw and things, that two issurim or one issa, like Abba Malkus, like Abba Asra, etc., etc. The Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. The Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Smag, say no. It's considered two separate lavim in the Torah. The Rambam, by the way, is listing for us the Tariag Mitzvah. So in the list of 613, how many does this take place? According to the Rambam, this takes the place of one Leisa Asei in the Torah. You must not eat the Korban Pesach raw or cooked. It must be roasted. According to the Sefer HaMitzvahs and the Rambam, it's two separate lavim. There is one lav called do not eat the Korban Pesach raw, and there's another issa, do not eat the Korban Pesach cooked. Right, so we're showing you discuss that. Right, so we're showing you discuss that. The whole discussion, by the way, between the Rambam and the Ramban is all based on the Gemara, which discusses how many malchus you get, and that's the machlokes. We're not going to learn the whole sugya, but the bottom line is, but there is a machlokes, is this considered one loisase in the Torah, or two separate loisases? A machlokes. Says the Bnei Yisoscha, I'd like to suggest, and he says, he gives a whole beautiful introduction, he says, listen, who on earth are we? Soid Hashem li Reov, it's all a big soid to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how can we possibly know what the real reasons behind these inyonim are? But nonetheless, he says, I'd like to suggest al pi derech remez, perhaps what's really going on over here. And he says, of course, e efshel lahasik tachlis tamia mitzvahs. We can never obviously fully understand the reasons behind mitzvahs. But nonetheless, he says, I'm going to suggest a possible remez behind this whole discussion of raw, the discussion of cooked, and this will help us understand the machloikas, whether it is one issa or two issurim, and let's enjoy the Bnei Yisoscha's pshat because it really is quite phenomenal, but also very, very fundamental. Says the Bnei Yisoscha, why must you not eat the Korban Pesach raw or cooked? So we mentioned various reasons, the Chizkuni, the Da'as HaKenim, but the Bnei Yisoscha's pshat is based entirely on the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch says that the reason why you have to eat a Korban Pesach roasted, not raw or cooked, is because Kach Derech Bnei Melochim. That's the way of kings. Vesorim and princes, Le'echol Bosor Tzli. Raw, obviously not. It's not very king-like, not very royal or princely to eat the Korban Pesach raw, He explains also that to eat it cooked is not the best way to eat it. The way that a melech and a sar, a prince, would eat his food is roasted. And because it is so important, the whole reason why we eat in the Korban Pesach is to remember that we went to Chayrus, to freedom, and we are the Mamleches Kohanim, we are kings. Therefore it is ro'u, it is appropriate, says the Sefer HaChinuch, that we should eat in that style, i.e. in the way of kings. That's the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch suggests an alternative reason, we'll mention that in a moment. Says the Bnei Yisrael. So what are we being taught over here? We're being taught that the reason why you mustn't eat the Korban Pesach in any other way but roasted is because roasted is the way of kings. And on Seder night, we are celebrating the fact that we became free, we went to Chayrus, and we became kings. And therefore, we have to eat accordingly. Says the Bnei Yisrael, what does that mean? What does that mean? We have a phrase that we find in many places. In fact, we just said it only a few moments ago in Maariv. Vayotze is Amo Yisrael mitoichom lechayrus oilam. Free forever. We went for free forever. That's what we're celebrating on Pesach night. What does that mean? With the obvious question being, we're back in Golos. In fact, the Golos that we're in now is almost 10 times as long as the Golos in Mitzrayim that we're celebrating and getting out of. So what does that mean? Chayrus Olam, free forever. So he explains, and he says as follows, and this is his big yesod. When Klal Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, as we know, they sunk to the depth of Tumah, 49 levels of Tumah, and as we famously know, another moment, they would have sunk to the point of no return. They were over Avodah Zarah, as we know. When it came to Kriyas Yam Suf, the Malachim said, why on earth should you split the sea in their favour? They're no better than Mitzrayim. Halolu Oivda Avodah Zarah, the Halolu Oivda Avodah Zarah, they're just the same. So that's clear in Chazal, they were serving Avodah Zarah in Mitzrayim. Specifically, explains the Bnei Yisroel. In Mitzrayim, the Goyim firmly believed that who controls the world? The Mazolis. There are various forces in the world that we call the mazolis. This mazol, that mazol, the other mazol. The b'chayr, the chief mazol, is the mazol of the tzle, which is, by the way, the mazol of Chodesh Nisan. And that was Mitzrayim's god. As far as they were concerned, it was this mazol that controls the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at Yetzias Mitzrayim, dispelled that notion once and for all by showing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu overcame and overpowered all forces of Teva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned water into blood and then into frogs and then kinim and orev, etc., etc., etc. HaKadosh Baruch Hu proved beyond any shadow of a doubt that all the forces of Mazolos are completely subservient to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really in control of the world, and it's not the Mazolos. And that's why Yetzias Mitzrayim is so important for us. Because this is not just the reminder, but this is the living lesson that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who runs, controls, and is in charge of the world. And that's why in many places, including this week's parasha and last week's parasha, we find that Klal Yisrael will leave Mitzrayim, and what does the Torah say? V'yedatem ki ani Hashem, and you will know that I am Hashem. What does that mean? Because until that point, you clearly didn't know that. Until that point, when you were serving Avodah Zarah and you believed in the koyach of the Mazolos, then apparently it wasn't that clear to you who indeed is really controlling the world. But when it came to Yetzias Mitzrayim, then that point became crystal clear. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, first things first, if you want to be released from Mitzrayim, take that Avodah Zarah, take that Tle, which represents the mazel and the force that the Mitzrayim believe in, and go and shecht it. What does that mean? It's not just referring to that physical destruction of the Tler, but rather also that understanding, the destruction of that belief in the Tler. that mazel that until now Mitzrayim was serving and Klal Yisrael were going along with it, with the belief that the Tlay, as it were, is controlling the world, with the other mazalis as well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, firstly, you have to shech the Tlay. That is the whole notion of Korban Pesach. By doing so, Klal Yisrael were establishing their belief that V'yedatem ki ani Hashem. We truly understand that in fact it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu running the world. Says the Bnei Yisachar, and I'll read you his words. At that point, when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim and left that whole ideology of the Mazalos, with that they went L'Cheirus Oilam. They went free forever. We ask, what does it mean free forever? We're back in Golos. We're not describing, when we say Cheirus Oilam, the physical pain and the fact that physically we're in Golos. Rather, as the Bnei Sosra explains, he says, do you know what it means free? Free from what? Cheirus me'iske avoidas ha'oilam. You're no longer an eved to the forces of nature, because you believe and understand that the forces of nature are not in control. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control. He says, if you believe that it's the Mazalos who are in control, then you're an eved to the forces of nature. And as he writes very powerfully, he says, if somebody doesn't believe that, and rather is of the belief that everything is controlled by Teva and these various forces and Mazalos, then his life is a misery. Oyved b'yoyim u'balayla, he's busy working day and night because he's totally subservient to these forces of Mazalos, which he believes are controlling the world, and his whole destiny is in their hands. Therefore, he's a total ever to his bread, to his parnasa, to his begodim. Whereas somebody who understands that actually, no, there's one, Melech Malchei Amlochim, Echod Yochid U'miyuchad, who's controlling the world. So I'm not an eved to anyone or anything. Rather, I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control and in perfectly safe hands, and I'll be right. Therefore, I can dedicate my life to Avodas Hashem, to Torah, to mitzvahs. I don't have to run around like a headless chicken thinking that the forces of nature, Mazalos, are really those that are controlling. And that's what it means, says the Bnei Yisosfa, that's what it means, Cheirus Olam. Cheirus Olam doesn't mean whether we're physically involved in Avodas Porech or not. Rather, it's referring to our Ruchni state. In Mitzrayim, we believed in the Mazalos. Break the force of the Mazalos, shech that tler, and you're no longer an eved to nature. You're now an eved, albeit, but you're in safe hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you can dedicate your life now to Torah and service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Bnei Yisrael, when you come back now to eat in the Korban Pesach, if the Seder night is all about celebration of being kings free, then you have to eat accordingly. Again, not just being a physical king in the human sense, but rather being cheirus v'nei chayrin, as in free to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not subservient to the forces of nature. And therefore, you have to eat the Korban Pesach accordingly. What does that mean accordingly? Not raw and not cooked, because that all represents, albeit in a physical way, much of what we do on Seder night is a physical activity, which of course represents the spiritual ideas that sit behind them. Therefore, he explains, that's what the Sefer HaChinuch means. It's so crucial, therefore, not to eat the Korban Pesach raw, not to eat the Korban Pesach cooked. That's not the way a king eats his food. He eats it roasted. On the Leil HaSeder, we're commemorating and consolidating this belief that we are B'nai Melochim. That's what he writes as part one. However, says the Sefer HaChinuch, if you look there, there's another reason. The Sefer HaChinuch, after writing that the whole concept of Tzli is because of what? Because Tzli roasted as a way of chayrus and royalty, he says there's another reason. What's another reason? Chipozim. In the words of the Sefer HaChinuch, Achilas Hatzli Yoyre al Hachipozim. It shows us the great haste with which they left Korum, which with this left Mitzrayim. How does it show it? Because they didn't have time to cook their Korban Pesach properly. In other words, it takes longer to cook than it does to roast. So the fact that they ate it roasted illustrates that they left the chipozim. They left the chipozim, left with such haste that there was no time to cook the Korban Pesach at all. Now, says the B'nai Yisrael, why is that important to remind ourselves of? Would explain why it's important to remind ourselves of the Malchus of the B'nai Chayrin. Why it is important to remind ourselves of the Inin of Chipozim. Says the B'nai Yisrael, that's also a very big Yisrael. Because that teaches us, then and now, that whenever Klal Yisrael are in Golos, when the time comes, the time comes. And there's no one whatsoever, anybody or anything in the world that can prevent HaKadosh Baruch Hu bringing about the Geula. And that's what has to be Chipozim, because this was the time. There's no hanging about, there's no waiting. This is the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has preordained the Geula will be. That's when it will be. That's the Yisrael of Chipozim. Says the B'nai Yisrael, one moment. Don't eat the Korban Pesach cooked. Why not? Because it takes a long time to cook it. That doesn't really illustrate chipozim. Can that possibly be an explanation of not being allowed to eat the Korban Pesach raw? To the contrary, if you're so keen to illustrate the purpose of chipozim, then I would have thought that it's very recommendable to eat it raw. That's even quicker than tzli. So if you follow the reasoning of chipozim, then we're going to have to say that that's a perfect explanation of bishul. That not to eat it, nor that we're going to have to suggest a different reason. And what's that reasoning going to be? Like we said before, to eat something raw is not the way of kings. Says the B'nai Yisrael, therefore, in summary, if you go with the reason of Chayrus Oilom, then that would very neatly explain both why you shouldn't eat it cooked, or you shouldn't eat it raw, because cooked and raw is not the ways of kings. Rather, roasted. But if you're going to go with the reasoning of Chipozim, that's a great explanation for not eating it cooked, but it's not going to work for cooked, for raw. Then you're going to have to suggest a different reason, which is Chayrus Oilom. Says the B'nai Yisrael in conclusion, that is the Machloikas Rambam, and Rambam, whether the Issa of raw and cooked is one Aveira or two Aveiras. Quite mind-blowing. The Rambam who says it's all one collective Issa, don't eat the Korban Pesach raw or cooked. It's all much of a muchness. Why is it much of a muchness? Suggest the B'nai Yisrael, he's going with the reason of Chayrus Oilom, Malchus. Well, that's a perfectly great explanation for cooked and for raw. Both Mavusho and Nor is not Derek Malchus, therefore it's all one Issa. Rather, eat it roasted, that's the Derek of Malachim. The Rishonim who disagree with the Rambam, and they say it's two separate Isurim, they clearly hold that what? They clearly hold that, no, the reason why you mustn't eat it cooked is because of chipozim. Cooking takes too long. But then you see that you're not allowed to eat it raw either. That can't be because of chipozim. To the contrary, eating it raw will be even more quick, more hasty. That must be a different reason because of chayrus aylam. That's why the Ramban suggests it's two separate averas in the Torah. Now, obviously, this is not the explanation of derech hapshat. The real explanation of Derech HaPshat is based on the Gemara Makkos with regard to Malkus and how you learn the whole sugya. But the B'nai Yisrael and his genius is explaining al Derech HaRemez, that the discussion about whether it's one Aveira or two Aveiras really is based on an understanding of why it's Osir to eat it cooked and raw in the first place. The Rambam tells us, and he's going with the first reasoning of the Chinuch, that it's all about Chayrus, and that therefore necessarily includes both Mevushal and Nor, so it's all one Issa. Whereas the Ramban and the Smag, they go with us the other reason, which is Chipazim. Well, that's a perfectly valid explanation for Mevushal. Doesn't quite work for eating it raw. So for that we have to come up with a brand new reasoning, and that is because of Malchus and Chayrus, and that's why it's a totally separate Issa. As can Divrei Abnei Yisosfa. So, besides for his wonderful pshat in the Rambam and the Ramban, but in a way, even more importantly, we learn two enormous yisoidos from this parasha and our whole avodah on Leila Seder. Number one, the concept of chayrus doesn't just mean chayrus, that we're not involved in a physical back-breaking labor. Rather, it means we're free to serve Hashem. As the Mishnah tells us in Ovis, Ein l'cha ben chayrin, there is nobody more free, ela, misha oisek v'talmud Torah. What does that mean? If you're oisek in Talmud Torah, you're a free person. Omol ha-Torah, it's hard work. Yeah, that's precisely the point. We don't mean free to do as you please and waste one's life, chas v'shalom. To the contrary, it means we're free of being shackled by all the forces of Teva, and rather we feel we're in the safe hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we can dedicate our lives to the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The second yesod that the Bnei Yisosfa taught us, the concept of Chipazoin, and he explained to us why that's so important for us. That's also important to teach us forevermore that when the Zman of the Geula arrives, then the Zman of the Geula arrives. And there's nothing that can withhold it. He himself sends you back to Yosef HaTzadik. Do you remember that one word in Parashat Miketz? Yosef HaTzadik is languishing in jail for 12 years. All of a sudden, Pare has his dreams. The Sarha Mashkim reminds him that, yes, actually there's somebody in the prison who can interpret your dreams. And the Lashon of the Pasuk is, Vayiritzihu min ha-bori. They rushed him out of the bori. What's the big rush? What's the big rush? He's been there for 12 years. Says the Sfarnu there. Do you know why there was a rush? Kederech kol teshuas Hashem. That's the way the Yeshua always is. It's always in a rush. Shenaasis kmoi rega. It can happen in an instant. You can be sitting in jail for 12 years. When the time comes, you don't have to go to the office and then fill out some forms and get stuck in bureaucracy and try and wangle your way out of the jail. No, when Yeshua comes, the Yeshua comes. The Yeritzur is in a rush, is in an instant. And he himself says, the Sfarnu, V'chein hoya inyan Mitzrayim. So too, just like Yosef HaTzadik, that was really a precursor to what happened in Mitzrayim. As we know, we mentioned this on Seder night, that's how we have our matzahs, the bread wasn't baked. Who had time to bake bread? Who had time to cook the Korban Pesach? It all happened in an instant, says the Sfarnu, and so that will be La'osid Lovoy as well. Just as with Yosef HaTzadik, so too in Mitzrayim, V'chein Omar La'asoyis La'osid. So will be in the future. The Golos that we're now in, when the time for Mashiach comes, and the time for Mashiach comes. And nothing, and nobody could withhold that. In fact, there's a story told in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and with this we'll finish. It says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi came across Eliyahu HaNavi. Came across Eliyahu HaNavi. And he said, tell me, Emas Osi Mashiach. When is Mashiach going to come? When is Mashiach going to come? It's a question that we all want to know. So he said, I want you to meet a certain person who's a tremendous choyla, and he gave him a sign how you'll know it's this particular choyla. He's a big Baal Yisurim, terrible afflictions. He'll be able to tell you. And it was really Eliyahu HaNavi. He greeted him, and he said to him, tell me, when is Mashiach going to come? The big question. And he said to him, Hayoim, today. Hayoim, today? He says, yes. As the Pasuk says, Hayoim im b'koilei tishmo. If only you will listen to the voice of Hashem, then it can be today. There's no forms to fill out. There's no offices that need to be visited. There's no protexia. There's no connections. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that Klal Yisrael are worthy for the Geula, then it could be Hayoim. Just like with Yosef HaTzadik, v'yiritzuhu min aboyim. Just like in Mitzrayim, nobody had the time to bake their matzahs properly. Nobody had time to cook the Korban Pesach properly, and that's why we don't have it cooked. We have it roasted, that takes far less time. So it will be la'osid la'avay. When the time comes, it will be Hayoim. Mitzvah Hashem, may that be the Nehrabi Amin.
Amen.